We're in our second week of our series, Fully Committed. And my bride is joining me for these 5 weeks, and we've been having loads of fun. We've been having loads of fun learning about all of the areas in our life that, we've been having lots of fun. It's always fun when we preach together. We're talking about being fully committed to someone, really in a world that views marriage more like an extracurricular activity. You know, it's kind of a, be fun to try, but it's not really necessary to stay in if you don't like it.
Throughout this series, we're taking a look at five commitments in order to fail-proof marriage. And so we're looking at one each week. We want to take a look at some of the things that we can do to make marriage better or help you if you're going to be married someday or to be able to help your kids that might be married someday.
So if you missed last week, I want to encourage you guys to go online, go to experiencethechurch.com or go to our Facebook page and download the talk from last week, because the first commitment that we talked about is very, very, very important to all of this. And so if you missed that, get back there. We talked about last week seeking God first and taking a look at how we need to put God first in relationships if we ever want anything to get better. If we want to keep getting more of the same, we want to keep the same struggles that we've always got, then we just need to keep doing what we've always been doing, and we're going to get what we've always been getting. Doesn't matter whether you're married or single.
Today we're going to be taking a look at the second commitment. And it's really something that everybody goes through. Doesn't matter if you're married or single. It's conflict.
You know, when we got married, we were of the untrue belief that everything was going to be wonderful forever. We loved each other so much, and it was going to be so great, and we were never going to do what we'd seen other couples do, and we weren't going to live. It was going to be different for us.
Yeah,
not so much.
Marriage is really no exception to the conflict.
Conflict's going to happen. Yeah. And if you're going to have a relationship, healthy relationships have conflict. But what makes them healthy is healthy resolution of conflict. If you're here this morning, you've got kids under 12 or 12 and under in the auditorium. Our services each and every week are crafted for you adults. We have an amazing kids' church that goes on throughout the whole service, and it teaches the kids at their level so that they can have fun also. The other thing is, I don't want you to have to go home and explain something to your children that you weren't planning on explaining to them before you came to church in the morning. And so I'm just giving you that opportunity to grab that out quick. Go check your kids into kids' church and get on back here. I'm going to pray right now. If you guys will all join me, and then we're going to get going. Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity to take a look at relationships and some of your great wisdom on those things. God, I pray that we would have soft hearts, open ears, that we would receive what it is you have for us today, that no one would leave here the same as they walked in. I pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. So all couples will disagree at some point in time. And if you're a newlywed with stars in your eyes still, then we hate to break your bubble, but it's going to happen. There is going to come a time in your marriage when you're going to look at that person after he said something or she's done something, and you're going to wonder if an alien has taken over your spouse's mind, because that is just not something that you ever would have thought that they would have said or done.
But you don't want to ask them if an alien's taken over
their mind. That would
be
bad.
That would be a bad thing.
But the problem isn't disagreeing with your spouse, because like Mike said, conflict is inevitable in a relationship. We're all created differently, and so we're not going to agree with people 100% of the time.
The problem isn't that we disagree. It's what we do with conflict once it starts. And what we do can make or break our relationships. It's all in how we choose to fight. Healthy couples fight fair. They fight for a resolution. Unhealthy couples fight dirty. They fight to win. They fight for victory. They'll hit below the belt. They'll stab in the back. They'll take the jabs and the undercuts. They'll make accusations. They'll call names. They'll do all of those things because their only goal in the whole thing is winning. Coming out on top. I was right. You were wrong. And we're going to take a look today at some scripture in the book of James. It's found in your New Testament about two-thirds of the way back in the Bible. If you're here this morning and you don't own a Bible of your own, please grab one off the chair or by you or off the floor or wherever they ended up. Take it home with you. We want you to have a Bible. If you've got a smartphone, go to YouVersion and download the free Bible app, or go to your app store and download the app that's got a little picture and it says Holy Bible on it. It's a free app. It's amazing. It's got all kinds of other stuff other than just the Bible. Verses will be up on the screens this morning so you can follow along. We're taking a look at James chapter 1, starting in verse 19, and it says this: "My dear brothers and sisters, always be willing to listen and slow to speak. Do not become angry easily, because anger will not help you live the right kind of life God wants." So this week we're going to take a look at this second commitment to fail-proofing our marriages, and that is fight fair.
We want to take a look at that verse, the scripture that we just read, and point out three things that we need to do in order to fight fair, in order to make that commitment. The first thing is always be willing to listen. It had said in the scripture there, we need to listen to what's being said. Okay, so basically this means shut up. Okay, stop talking. Hear the person out, keep your mouth shut.
Don't tell the other person to shut up.
That's
a bad thing.
Too often when things are escalating, we're quick to speak, aren't we? I mean, we're not willing to listen. We want our voice to be heard. We're quick to argue back. We're quick to make a point and to throw that low blow. And we just want to talk. We want to get out what it is that we're feeling and what we think we need to say. But what this is saying is be willing to listen. Be quick to listen.
Single dudes in a room, I'm going to give you a little piece of advice here today that is going to save you a world of hurt in the future if you pay attention to it, if you file it away and you live by this, okay? Women are a complex thing. Okay? That's the beginning. Here's the rest of it. You need to hear what they don't say, too. Just because your wife or girlfriend isn't talking doesn't mean that everything is okay. Okay? Women speak on average 20,000 words a day. Dudes speak about 6,000, not 6 words, okay? 6,000. The point in this is if your wife's not talking, chances are pretty good something's wrong. Okay? So write that down, because it's going to save you one day, I promise. You need to ask what's wrong, and then shut up and listen. Listen to what she says. Don't ask her while you continue to text, or while you continue to watch the game, or while you continue to fish, or work on the car, or whatever it is, and then just expect that she's going to talk and think that you're paying attention. She needs your face.
She needs your eyes.
I want your face.
Listen with your eyes.
Talk to my face. Anyway.
Women, this can be hard for us, too. I can't tell you how many times that I wish I would have just kept my mouth shut. I thought I had a better idea or a better way of doing things. I was unhappy with how things were going, and so I really felt like I needed to say something or nothing was going to change. I opened my mouth when it would have been better just to keep it shut, because saying what I was thinking or what I was feeling without actually listening first just was putting my needs and my desires and my wants and me, instead of focusing on the other way around. I was just focusing on myself.
In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2, it says this: "Fools do not want to understand anything. They only want to tell others what they think." Man, is there wisdom in that? A fool doesn't care what you're saying. They only focus on what they are thinking, and they want to make sure that you know it. That's what happens when we don't fight fair, when we're not trying to understand the other person, when we just want to be heard. Honestly, it's when we want to win. We want to speak all of the things out to make sure that we come out on top. But in order to make relationships work, you got to be willing to fight fair.
The second thing we need to do to fight fair is to think before we speak. Okay, looking back on that verse in James chapter 1, it says, be slow to speak.
That doesn't mean speak slowly.
You make me so angry. Yeah, that's
that
not it.
No.
You don't always need to express what it is that you think.
Every thought that pops into your head does not need to pass through your lips.
No. So you need to force yourself to think, okay? And so we've got something to help you remember that. Ask yourself, is what you're about to say true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? Now, you might be sitting there thinking, well, he's an idiot, so that's true, so I can say that. Or it is necessary that she knows what I think of her right now. Or I would really be inspired if I could just punch him in the face. And yes, it would be helpful if I told her how bad she looked in that outfit, but that's not what we're saying here. It's all of it. You need to think before you speak. It has to go through all of those. All of the T-H-I-N-K, it has to do the whole thing.
When you're ready to go into a conflict, you think about think, and then think about it in that way. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? Think before you speak. Now, there are some things that need to be said. But there's going to be some things that are just really a bad idea to bring up in the middle of a fight.
Or the middle of the night.
And they just make things worse. You don't need to introduce new issues into conflict. You need to resolve the issue that there's conflict about. You need to stay focused on the issue at hand and don't bring something back around again. Too often, we start arguing. And then we take offense to something, and then we lash out to hurt the other person back because they've hurt our feelings or our egos. And by the time that somebody walks out because they've just had enough, the fight isn't even what it started out to be about anymore. In fact, sometimes we look back and go, what were we fighting about? Do you even remember how this started?
Yeah, but we're really mad about the last thing that we're fighting about.
Can't believe you said that.
Right. Proverbs 21, verse 23 says, watch your words and hold your tongue. You'll save yourself a lot of grief. So while we're talking about talking, I just want to add something for the gals, that men need to know that they have what it takes. What I'm saying is our words can break or build a man. And I'm not saying that what men say have no effect on a woman. But talking just to the gals here, that if a man has a woman who tells him he's a loser, he will be a loser. Just give him time. But if a woman tells a man that he's amazing, he'll become amazing. And that could be something that absolutely changes everything in your relationship. We have to be willing to think before we speak if we're going to fight fair.
Third thing we need to do is to stay calm. Looking back at James again, it says, do not become angry easily. All right? Now, some of you guys know that there are those of us who have personalities where you can push the button, push the button, push the button, push the button, and you look at people and you go, are they ever going to get upset? I don't know what I could possibly do to upset them. And then all of a sudden, one day, the mushroom cloud. And then there's the group of people who you look at.
This is just very dangerous
for
us today. We're having all kinds of
spontaneous. You just look at the wrong way and they go. Let's face it, it's really easy to get angry. And while some of us take much longer to get there than others, God doesn't want us to take the easy way out by just getting angry, because that's the easy way for the moment, to stomp out and scream and yell and get crazy. But in the long run, if you choose to get angry, it just destroys the relationship further.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27, they say, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Don't let your anger control you. Don't let it control your mouth or your actions or your thoughts. And don't go to bed angry. Don't let that issue go unresolved. For some of you, if you made that one change in your marriage today, that would be a total game changer. If you just said, we're not going to go to bed angry anymore, it could change everything.
When you go to bed angry, it's like letting the devil into your bed. Like giving the devil a foothold in your marriage. And then he creeps in and he sleeps right between you and your spouse. And when you let that anger go unchecked, it's like an infected wound that begins to fester. You know, you didn't get enough antibiotic ointment on there, and pretty soon it's a little red, and then it's yellow, and then it's green, and then there's kind of pus oozing out of it, and it's boiling up. And is that nasty enough for you guys? Huh? I mean, but we're talking just short of gangrene here, okay? I want you to have that visual. I want you to remember this, because when you allow yourself to go to bed angry, that's what's going on in your heart. The offense that was taken beforehand is growing and poisoning everything within you until you become just this big old infected mess.
Mike and I have had some pretty intense arguments.
Discussions. We'll go
and,
with that.
And so we want to share some of the things that we've learned that have helped us in a conflict, things that help us to stay calm so that we don't let anger get the best of us. Now, this does not mean by any stretch of the imagination that we have arrived. I mean, like we said, conflict is something that happens in every relationship. And we know that if we stick to what we're about to share with you, that things are going to go a lot smoother. Mike and I do not agree on everything. That doesn't
change. Wouldn't be any fun if we did.
Yeah, so this is some stuff that we've learned that actually help us so that things don't get really ugly. And the whole point of this is to fight fair. Not that you're not going to fight, but that you're going to fight fair.
So consider these some rules of engagement. Okay? In a fair fight, you never have an audience. When you fight, you don't fight in front of someone else, because then your focus becomes winning. You don't want to look bad in somebody else's eyes. You want to make sure that your thoughts, that your attitude, that your idea, that your ego comes out on top. You don't fight in front of your kids. You don't fight in front of your friends. You don't fight in front of complete strangers. Not only does it make things bad for you and your spouse, but it makes things incredibly uncomfortable for those around you.
Or it's going to wind up on YouTube. So, just saying.
Ooh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I know. So, number two, in a fair fight, you never call names. Calling names, really, it's a sign of weakness. It's that you're feeling like you're losing that fight, and so you're just going to start throwing some low blows. And it serves no purpose other than you're trying to get the other person angry. It's like poking a bear, and there's just nothing good that's going to come from that.
No, and the longer you're in a relationship, the better you know your partner's buttons to push. And so you know what names will stir them to complete and total anger. And you know that when you can get them off their game, then you feel like you win. In a fair fight, you never raise your voice. Our tone of voice can change everything. And by making a decision to not yell or scream, you can remain calm and let things work their way out. When you guys watch that clip that we opened up with, and everybody's screaming like this, and even though they're just kind of having a normal conversation, after a period of time, you start to go like, gah! Well, it made me tense.
Number four, in a fair fight, you never bring up the past. Don't do it. Let it go. Forgive each other after a conflict, and then never bring it up again.
Okay, so I got to stop here. I'm coming clean.
You said you weren't going to bring it up
again. I understand, but that was first service, and this is second round.
But that didn't mean you had to do it again. You guys should have been here at first service.
No, we do have to do it again, because I really, guys, you'll appreciate this. Ladies, you might too, or not. My bride is incredibly creative. And it was one of the things that I fell deeply in love with about her. She paints, she sculpts, she writes. She just does everything, and it just amazes me to no end. And in the beginning of our relationship, she used to do lots of art and craft stuff before we had 10 kids running around, and it kind of takes lots of time, and so there's not as much time to do those things. And at one point in time, we're talking 16, 17, 18 years ago. She bought this pair of porcelain Easter eggs. They were great big Easter eggs. And they weren't painted, and so she was going to paint them.
They were like little houses, you know, that you would put.
Oh,
down.
Yeah, they were so cute.
Cute for the kids.
Okay. And so she got working on them. Oh, did I mention they were expensive? Very expensive. Like, really?
All right,
what
were going.
They were what were you thinking kind of expensive, okay? Really? Easter eggs? It's one time a year.
You said. They're
okay.
Not even painted. Why would
and so, and so she started painting them, and something, life happened, and they didn't get finished before Easter. And so they went into
A box.
To save.
So
and
I could paint them.
The years began to go by. And I mean the years began.
I took them out and painted a little bit again.
And looked at them a little bit. Okay. And so as time went by, as often is the case, when we engage in battle, I'm wrong. And so in order to save face or to get out of this or at least to come out on top, I bring up the one mistake that she has made in our entire relationship, and that was buying those eggs. And I said, you remember those eggs? Maybe you'll finally paint those now.
I don't like to leave anything unfinished. And so he really knew that by doing that, I mean, we look at it and we laugh at it now, but
it drove her crazy.
Like,
it was very hurtful,
actually.
I can't
believe you went there.
Yep.
I can't believe
And it didn't
that,
matter
you know,
what was going on. I mean, it could be a conversation about supper or about kids' clothing or about whether we were going to visit my mom or her mom. Or it didn't matter what it was. If I wanted the conversation to end, I'd say, hey, how about those eggs? So finally, about 4 years ago when we were moving here to start the church, we were gathering up all of our stuff, and I came across those eggs, and I picked it up, and I went, now we're moving, right? We're packing. This isn't fun for anybody. Anybody who enjoys that, I feel for you, but I've had enough packing for the day, and so I'm going to end this. Hey, look what I found. I got the eggs. Now, thankfully, I had the eggs, or I would have been dodging them, but she looked at the eggs, and she said, you know what? You're not going to be able to bring those up anymore because I'm getting rid of those. And so we threw the eggs away. And I promised that I wouldn't bring it up anymore. All right?
What are we talking about
and so
right now?
In front of all of you, you've heard this now, the egg thing can never come up again. It can't be used
in
battle
anymore.
We have
it now recorded twice.
It's recorded twice.
Yeah. For real now, it's not coming up again.
The egg thing is over.
The egg saga is done.
The egg thing is over.
You guys can tweet that.
But you guys all know the things that have happened in the past that you can just twist a little bit and you can just jack your partner up right now, right? And it's all over. Don't use those things. Put them down. Forget them. Forgive them. Lay them aside. Walk away.
Let go of the eggs.
That's right. Let go of the eggs.
Okay?
Let go of the eggs.
You're
up. In a fair fight, never say never or always. This is one of the quickest ways to escalate an argument to, like, the moon. You look at somebody and you say, you never do this, or you always do that. And when we stop and think about that for a minute, how often are never and always true?
Well, and you're going to put the person on the defense right away. I mean, you're taking all the credibility away from the actual argument, the disagreement that you're having, because what they just said isn't true.
Yeah, I mean, because as soon as somebody says never, I'm thinking about, no, that's not true. I mean, I remember that one time it didn't happen that way. It wasn't never.
Number six, in a fair fight, you never threaten divorce. That you don't even want to open that door. You want to keep that shut because the minute that you make that threat, everything changes. You know, your spouse is going to worry about if you're going to leave or wonder, you know, is there something that I could say and do that you wouldn't stick around for? And that just completely destroys the trust, you know. It just starts to ruin everything. And so then you get even more angry, and it's just all downhill from there. And I'd like to say that we had never done that, but that's not the case.
Because never and always are rarely true.
And so we know that some of you are in the same situation. You've done that, and that's been a part of your fighting, you know. And so you need to just stop and say, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry that we opened that door. I don't want to do that. I'm committed to you. And let's start over from this point forward. We are never going to bring that up or threaten that again because it just sits back there and ruins it.
Move forward from there. And so what we've noticed is that any time that our arguments, our conflicts have gotten out of control, that we failed at one of these rules. And they're not rules that we just made up. They're biblical. These are not just good ideas. The Bible tells us, watch your tongue, be slow to anger, listen. But what happens when we break these rules is we let our anger, our pride, our judgment, our bitterness, our frustration, our selfishness, our desire to win rule us.
Mm-hmm. If you want to have a great marriage, there are some things that you're just going to have to say to yourself, this is not worth it. It's not worth where this fight is headed. I want to work harder at keeping my marriage together.
This is not the hill I want to die on.
Yep, than tearing it apart. Us staying together is more important than me being right or me getting my point across or making you feel bad for what you did.
If you're fighting nonstop right now, then in order to make things better, you got to quit fighting to win, and you've got to start fighting for restoration, for making things better, for repairing them. You need to let your pride go. You need to quit trying to be right. And guys, it doesn't matter if your wife is walking out the door already. You need to chase after her. A woman wants to know that she is worth fighting for, so don't give up. She needs to see that you think that she's worth it, that you're going to stick it out. Now, I'm not talking about stalking anybody. But I'm talking, you don't get into these places by cultivating and nurturing and paying attention to your relationship. You get into these places by ignoring it and allowing things to go crazy. And continuing to ignore it will only make it worse. You ever watch kids' fairy tales? Every romance you've ever seen, Prince Charming comes to rescue the gal. Your wife wants you to rescue her. And I'm not saying that she's weak or she can't take care of herself. Ladies, that's not where I'm going here. What I'm saying is we all need to know that there is somebody who is willing to give everything for us. We have to be willing to stay calm if we're going to fight fair.
We need to stop fighting for the wrong reasons and start fighting for the right ones. The fighting fair is really tough because in order for us to do it, we've got to put ourselves aside. We have to allow more of God in us and less of our selfishness, our wants, and our desires to mess things up. You can't have a relationship that is all about you. If you've got one, it ain't good, or it ain't going to be good. It's going to be bad.
You ever notice that when you're first dating, everything about the person that you're with is like, oh, they're so wonderful. Oh, I just love her. She knows what she wants, and she is so driven and organized, and she's so passionate, and I just love it. And then you get married, and it turns into, man, is she a control freak, and she just never gives up. She won't let go of anything. She always wants her way, and all she ever does is nag, 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 nags. You guys know what I'm talking about? Or ladies, maybe you found this perfect guy, and he's so laid back, and he's so easygoing, and he just doesn't seem to get excited about anything. And you just love that about him because the relationships you've had before, somebody was always off the hook, just, and you're like, this is the guy. And then all of a sudden it's like, what happened here? He's lazy. He doesn't do anything. I can't get him to get passionate about anything. I mean, I walk out in front of him, in front of the TV, naked, and he's sitting here going, hey, can you move over? I can't get the channel changed. I don't think he cares about me anymore.
The very things that we fell in love with are the things that we wind up fighting about. We allow the devil to take what we loved and then just turn that all upside down. Our strengths and our weaknesses are the same thing. It just depends on what side it is that you're looking from, the good side or the bad side.
It really is. I mean, that our greatest strengths are often also our greatest weaknesses.
And the longer that you spend together, you find out what those weaknesses are then, you know? And really, I mean, think about that. The very thing that, what is it that you fell in love with your spouse? And start to look at that and see how that actually, the things that you're struggling with are really one and the same thing. It's just a matter of when you're angry, you're not looking at it like, oh, that's right, I really did love that she was creative. All you can see are those eggs. Anyway, okay.
Hypothetically speaking,
moving along,
of course.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of our arguments stem solely from our expectations that we expect our spouse to fulfill all of our needs, our desires, our wants. But here's a truth for you. God did not create your spouse to make you happy. Or any other person or any other thing for that
matter.
That's
good right there. Say that again.
God did not create your spouse to make you happy. Or any other person or any other thing, that you are not going to find your happiness in people or things. In fact, things rot, break, get lost, stolen, and people will always, always eventually let you down. Sooner or later, they're going to do something that hurts. God wants you to find your joy, your happiness in Him. Not in what you do, not in where you work, not in what you wear, not in how much money you make, not in the house you live in, not in the person that you're married to, not in the children you have, not in the praise that you receive, not in your social status or the neighborhood that you live in or how great you were at sports in high school. God wants you to find your joy in Him. And the next time you find yourself upset and angry in your relationships, take a look at yourself and where your relationship is with God. Because the odds are pretty good, it's not where it's supposed to be. If you take a look at where He is at on your priority list, generally when we're having conflict with people around us, it's because God is low on our priority list. We're looking at something else to make us happy. We're looking for something else to make us happy. You know, I can't say it enough. None of us are perfect. We're people. And we're going to let each other down. What happens is we've got to make the decision whether we're going to fight against each other or we're going to fight together for something. Are we going to fight to tear each other apart and tear each other down? Or are we going to fight together for a relationship that is going to last and that is going to become something amazing that only God can do with it? God wants us to commit to fighting fair in our marriage and in every relationship we have. Some of you guys have been living your life and your entire life has been a great big fight. And you fight with everybody you see. You get angry and you argue with anyone and everyone in your path. And everything that you come around seems to let you down and come up short. And you're always left wanting something or feeling slighted or saying, I deserve more than this or I deserve better than this. It's never too late to make a change in how you handle your relationships in life, to turn it around, to do something different, to get something better. And in order to do that, you've got to make a commitment to fight fair. If you're in a marriage that's broken or falling apart, if you're in a marriage where there's been criticism or contempt or mistrust or defensiveness, divisiveness, blame, barriers built so high, walls built up that you are going to build them so that no one will hurt you ever again. Nobody's getting in here. We want you to know that it is never too late to quit fighting against each other and start fighting together for something, to start fighting fair, because your marriage is worth fighting for. Amy said earlier that in our life together, we've had some heated discussions over time. And maybe you've heard people talk about how a couple is like oil and water. You know, and they just kind of, you know what oil and water, they kind of flow together. Amy and I like to say that we're kind of like fire and gasoline. Here's the neat thing. When you put fire and gas together, right? Big heat. Ooh, feel the heat. That heat can be amazing. In fact, we got 10 kids. That heat can be amazing. But here's the other thing about fire when it's out of control. It burns things up. It damages things. It wrecks things. Things can get really bad. And when we're not getting along, it's a bad kind of fire. So we had to learn that in order for our marriage to be healthy, in order for us to function together as a couple, and in order for us to become what God wanted us to be and do the things that God wanted us to do, that we had to learn to fight fair in our marriage and for our marriage if we wanted it to survive.
Whether you're married or not married, everyone faces challenges in relationships at one time or another. And for those of you who would say, I want to be better at handling conflict, I want to make the commitment to fight fair every day for the next 4 weeks. That's the remainder of what we've got for our series. I want to listen, and I want to think before I speak, and I want to stay calm. I want to stop the way that I've been arguing. I want to fight fair. I'm not going to fight in front of anybody else. I'm not going to call names. I'm not going to raise my voice. I'm not going to bring up the past. I'm going to quit saying never or always, and I'm not going to threaten to leave. If you're willing to commit to those things for the next 4 weeks, then we want to give you that opportunity.
I want you guys to pray with me. Just think about that for a second and say, you know what? What do I have to lose and I've got everything to gain? If you're sitting here this morning and you're like, I want things to change and I want to do this better, I want to pray with you right now. Just sit right in your chairs and bow your heads and pray along with me and just say, Father God, I commit to fighting fair over the next 4 weeks. I commit to starting somewhere. Help me to listen to others. Keep my mouth shut. Help me to think before I speak. Help me to stay calm. Help me to fight by the rules. I won't fight in front of anybody else. I won't call names. I won't raise my voice. I won't bring up the past. I won't say never and always. I won't threaten divorce. God, give me strength to handle conflict in my life. I commit to fight fair every day until the end of this series. And I pray, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would give me the strength to do that. I pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Now, if you're here for the first time, we do something around here called the Weekly Challenge. And all that is a way for you to take what it is that we've been talking about and just walk that out in your life. These are not things that you have to do in order for God to love you or anything like that, okay? It's just this next step to kind of like, okay, how do I make that real in my life?
So this week I want to challenge you, if you weren't here last week or you didn't get a chance to listen to the talk this last week, go online, download that, listen to that, get caught up. It really is the first block in this building that we're building over the next 5 weeks.
You can try and do all of the commitments that
right.
we're going to talk about.
But if we don't start with the commitment we made in week one, none of it's going to work.
And then for married couples, challenge number two, that we've been talking about praying with your spouse, and that each week we're going to have a devotional online. It's just something that's got 5 days worth that's going to help you to pray with your spouse and to talk about some of the things that we've been talking about. That's going to be available every Monday afternoon on our website, so you can go there and check that out.
Yep,
that
just
would be
click
our
on the Listen tab, and then where the talks are for the week, it'll say Additional Material. Click on that, and there it is. Married guys, I want to challenge you guys this week to do something different, okay? I want you guys to open the door for your wife all week long, whether it's the door to the house, whether it's the door to the store, whether it's the door to the car, all right? Ladies, I know some of you are like, I don't need anybody to open no door for me. Get away. That's not the point of this. It's not that you don't need anybody to, it's not that you do need anybody to open the door. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get your guys to focus on you, okay, and not themselves. All right, so this has nothing to do with how strong or how weak or whether you need anything or not. It's trying to get us as men to take a look around and make a conscious effort to put the special people in our life first.
And married gals, that we want to challenge you to focus on your words, to tell your husband that he's great, to tell him that you believe in him. And if you don't, then you're going to ask God to help you. Because the truth is, God created him to be great. Whether he's doing it or not right now, God created him to become more. Okay? And so your words could change all that. And so he needs to hear that from you.
Single guys and gals, pay attention to how well you listen to others and think before you speak. On a scale of 1 to 10, how are you doing at fighting fair in your relationships? And working on that will help you with all of the people you come into contact with in your life, as well as if or when you get married.
Yep, we want to challenge you to join a life group. The life groups are a great place that you can hang out with other people and talk more about making all of this work out in your life. And we'd really like to see everybody to be able to do this, because especially in marriages, we don't want to have marriages crumble and have people say, I don't know what happened. That they weren't talking to anybody and it just happened and there they are, they're divorced. That even if you've never been a part of a life group before, that you would just say that, okay, I'll try this for 4 weeks.
I had somebody stop by in the hallway and talk to me today that attended the first time last week. And they said, man, it wasn't at all what I thought it was going to be. I was kind of worried and I thought I was going to be weirded out. And it was really cool. And the people got together and just talked and had a good time. And there was nothing uncomfortable or crazy about it. And you know what? If you've had a great life group experience, hang out by the table in the hallway there and tell other people about that.
The Sit Crew is going to be coming around with a piece of paper for you guys. Go ahead, grab one of those. It's just got the verse that we were talking about today, James chapter 1, verses 19 to 20, so that you're able to check that out, look at it this week, memorize that, pray about it, and so that you're just able to focus on that this week and ask God to help you to fight fair with everyone that you're coming into contact with this week.
God wants our marriages and our relationships to be awesome, but in order for us to do that, we need to commit to fighting fair. So this week, join us in committing to make that thing start, to fighting fair. And then join us next week as we talk about our next commitment, which you guys are not going to want to miss.
You're not going to want to miss because, you know, you have a fight and then you got to make up, right?
Next week's coming. Will you guys pray with me? Father God, I just pray that you would give hope and healing to those who have given up today, to those who are feeling broken and hurt and lost. I pray that you would start a work in each and every one of us in our hearts. I pray that we wouldn't react in the flesh, but that we would call on your Spirit to give us strength, to keep us calm, to give us the right words to speak or to know when to keep our mouths shut. God, I pray for those who are married and have been in a situation where there is sin that is in need of forgiveness, where there's bitterness and anger that need to be healed. Lord, I pray that they would come to you for the strength to forgive and to set things right. I pray for those who feel like they're on the edge and they can't make it anymore. God, I pray that you would give them hope, that they would know that all things are possible for you. And I pray that we would be a church that commits to fight fair for our marriages, for our relationships, for our future marriages, for our children's marriages, for all of the connections that we have in and around our community and beyond. I pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.